Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, 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 ooh,
ooh, ooh. The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. Welcome to the show. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. It's been a long time coming. I haven't seen Brian or Noah in so long. Noah even longer because she was not on our last episode with Esther, which was so fun.
Yeah,
we need one pregnant person per episode.
Yeah.
Noah was off getting married, and we will do an in-depth look into that later on. That was so funny after that podcast where I was like, I was like, oh my God, you're getting married. That's so amazing. Then sidetracked, ADD, get off on other things, go to break, come back, keep talking about that thing. Then 10 minutes after we finished the episode, I was like, what a jackass. And I wrote to you being like, I am so sorry we never got back to it. Like, it does matter to me. Clearly, and I go, please name it an in-depth look at Noah's wedding, because I want people to be aware that I'm aware that I'm not a good friend.
Some people were like, wait a minute, the title said in-depth look, but it didn't happen.
That's people not getting my sense of humor in that moment, but that's okay because that's not always my sense of humor. So it's okay if you didn't get it that one time. And we don't usually do that jokey of titles. So that's why it was unexpected. That's totally normal for people to be like, okay, where is it? So we will get to that. We have so much to discuss. We have the Super Bowl, which we went to. Brian, I haven't seen, we did the podcast together. I've seen you once since the Super Bowl. But we did talk about, I've been to Australia. I've been to LA.
Unreal.
I've been, in St. Louis, where else? Sydney. I've been, I've been all over.
Melbourne
and Sydney.
Yeah.
And
we're going to be in Pennsylvania and New York this weekend.
That's correct. Thank you for reminding
me.
Bensalem and Portchester, New York. Saturday and Sunday, Brian Frangi, Nikki Glaser live.
Yes.
So if you were in the Philadelphia area, which these little towns are like outside of the big towns of Philly and New York City. So if you live around either of those towns, you got to come out. Yeah,
I've got some big names coming to the Portchester show. I've got my dad and his partner, Vicky. I've got Allie's.
His wife?
It's his partner. They're not married.
Oh, okay.
Long-term partner.
Domestic partner?
Girlfriend.
No,
come on,
not
make
domestic.
Your dad feel jazzy and young.
Yeah, his girlfriend.
His
crush.
Slut. Oh my God, sorry, Vicky.
No, she's no slut.
Cute.
And then Allie's sister, Elaine, is going to be there with her husband and two friends. And then Nikki, who you know well from my wedding, is Adam Steinman, who did that speech.
I love that guy.
Yeah,
he was
that
so
guy.
Funny. Adam Steinman. Yeah, I really admired his speech and thought he was so funny.
Yes.
And the whole weekend, everyone was telling me what a nightmare this person was going to be. All He's the single one of your group that never found a wife. And so all the wives and all the husbands are like, where do you meet Steinman? He's unlovable. No, he'll always be single. He's a monster. And then I met him and he's like, maybe the coolest one out of all of them. Sorry, guys. I think you're just all married and miserable and you need to make Steinman's life just terrible in your eyes. He's single. He doesn't have kids. What's wrong with him? I'm obviously joking, but it was like, why is this guy a bad? Why is he a monster? Why is he such a degenerate? They're like, yeah. Sorry, Adam, if you're hearing this, but that is what your friend said about you behind your back in a hot tub. When they get relaxed and hot, that's what they're saying about you. But yeah, he was great. So that'll be great to see him.
Yeah.
I have no one coming. Well, I might have some friends. We'll see. What else? Okay. So what I really want to tackle, let's just get into it.
Yeah, this is it.
Okay, when we were in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. am I saying that correctly? Vegas.
You're not saying it how you normally say it.
Yeah. I love when you say Vegas. Okay.
So sexy.
Las Vegas, even though I think that is the wrong way to say it, but it's probably the right way. Las Vegas. Two nights before, we did our podcast on a Thursday, and then on Friday, we came in on Thursday, we did our podcast Friday morning, and then Friday night, I was like, I think it was on Thursday. I go, wait, well, let's see what's at the Sphere. Like, is what's going on at that Sphere that you built? Like, obviously, it's Super Bowl weekend. It is the most busy weekend in Las Vegas. So I was like, there's no way there's going to be, if there's a show, it's sold out. U2 is there the next night, which is Friday night. And tickets are like $150 for decent seats because there's not a bad seat in the house unless you're under a riser, which you got to look at. Have you studied the Sphere since we went to the show? Because there was a controversy. The only controversy I can find or complaints about the Sphere I can find, Brian, are about the riser. If you sit under the riser, you can't see above it. You can't see the screen above it. Because what a shame it would be to miss all that action that's happening above that riser for 1/20th of the show.
Yes.
Okay, so we go, I get us four tickets to the Sphere.
Red flag right there. $150 to see you two at the Sphere Super Bowl weekend. Are you kidding me?
Why is that a red flag, Brian? Because
that's a really low price.
It should be a red flag, but why isn't it? Because I'll tell you, we're gonna jump back to this and I'll say, why are they $150 if everyone talks about how great this effing show is all the g damn time? That's all I hear.
That's a good point.
Okay, so we go to the show. I am a cursory YouTube, just a fine YouTube, C+. Yeah. C minus, probably. Yeah. I don't, they're not my favorite band. I have nothing against them. I saw them live at the Apollo with Sirius a couple years ago. It was an amazing show. The song.
Oh, yeah, with your
friend.
You've
got to get yourself together.
Oh, yeah, that is a good song.
One of my favorite songs of all time. Like, it's on my top probably 40 songs.
Yeah.
Of all time. So as long as I get that song, which of course I will, it's like one of their biggest, it's one of the biggest hits ever.
Yeah.
And
I forgot that it was one of their songs.
Yeah. Because they have a lot of different
songs.
They're
one of those bands that you're like, that's a U2 song? Really? Yeah.
And then they change their sound around.
Yes.
So I'm psyched. You know, we're going to the Sphere. Mm-hmm. We get in an Uber. We're on the way over. I pull up the set list because I want to ruin the fun. I want to see when I'm getting my song. I want to see what I'm in for.
Yeah, spoiler alert for your own self.
I can't find the song. Maybe it's a different title. I believed it was like, you've got to get yourself together. Oh, wait, stuck in a moment. And I'm like, maybe it's something else.
It's called stupid, like Firefly or something.
Yes. It's nowhere on the set list. I get remarkably sad. Like, I can't be in the conversation in the Uber anymore. Everything that's happening that isn't talking about the fact that the song is not being played is bothering me. Like, I am beside myself. Like, I was really, really sad because I decided to that night I was going to have a moment with that song because I wanted to get stuck in a moment with that song. The last time it played, it's about his friend committing suicide. I have like suicidal thoughts. I just feel connected to that song. It always gets me, like, whenever I'm feeling really depressed, I put that on and I think about my friend writing a song like that for me. I have like a lot of weird emotional attachment to it. So I was distraught when it wasn't being played. And like, it's such a dumb thing to get upset about, but I like could not focus. And I wanted Chris and everyone in the car to like I want, not even you guys, I just wanted Chris to like hold me because I was so upset. He's just like, it'll still be a good show. Like, not, who cares, babe? And then we go. I got recognized in the line.
Oh, wait, yeah. That's important.
Give anything before the line. Yeah, we get dropped off in a weird way. We walk over to the line. I wasn't even privy
to your struggles in the back seat. I don't remember what I was talking about, but I was on a different plane. I was having a conversation with the driver about how Las Vegas has changed.
Silence car. I'm just kidding. No, I didn't.
He was a nice guy. But yeah, on the line. Get on the line. There's
that I selected, like when we were in Australia, I selected comfort car. And when I put comfort car, it's already put in like, I don't want to talk, like whatever that's, because I checked it years ago because I always, if there's a preference, I'll prefer that. But it's also prefer cold. Like, I don't care if the car's not cold. I don't care if the driver talks to me. But if I could choose, yeah, I kind of, I'm always going to want to err on the side of like no talkie. Mm-hmm. So I got in the car and with Chris, and the guy goes, oh, and I see you selected quiet car. All right. And I go, oh, I don't really care. That was just a thing I selected like years ago. It doesn't, it's just a setting that's default. I don't care. You can talk to us. And he goes, okay, so the ride's going to be, and I go, shh, and like really abrasively, as soon as he talked again, and he did not get it. Oh, he was like, oh, okay, man. I'm sorry. I was just like, no. Okay. So we get in line.
An in-depth look at Nikki's Uber.
Yeah. Drive. Yeah. I have so many. So we get in line and
the line is so long. It is so wrapping long. Around the entire block. It is going down the strip. It is going past the Luxor. I don't, not even really,
it
but it's
mean
so long.
To anyone, but yes.
And well, and that's because the sphere is poorly designed. There's one entrance into the sphere.
I see what you're getting at.
There should be multiple entrances that you can go in, and the entire sphere should be on the second floor,
like a stadium.
Yes, exactly.
Where you go to a, where you take it as a gate number.
It's
how
insane.
Nice is that?
Yeah.
When you go to a stadium, they go, "Oh, you're at the wrong gate," and then you go to another gate, and there's like no one there because that's where, because everyone's spread out. They do it right. Mm-hmm. So you're right. It's one entrance. We're going in the sphere, and there is, I see a guy in front of us go, no, that's not her. It's not Nikki Glaser, to his wife. And then he looks at me.
Did he say it like that?
He did say it like, I swear to God, he was like mad at her. He goes, that's not Nikki Glaser. And I go,
you idiot.
And she was just like, uh-huh. And I go, yes, I am. And I just kind of said it to him, and I'm probably like 8 feet away because he can't really hear me. And I go, yes, I am. And then he kind of looks and is like, she turns around and go, yes, I am. And he goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Because he doesn't really understand what I'm communicating. He's like, sorry, my wife thought you looked like this comedian. We weren't talking about you. And I go, I am her. And he goes, honey, it's really funny. That's not you. I was like, there's this comedian, Nikki Glaser. I go, I am she. She is me. And he goes, he will not. But like, it's the only time I've ever felt like, I can't believe someone doesn't believe who I am. Like I, and so I immediately reach into my fanny pack and pull out my ID and I say, yes, I am.
It's a compliment. He thinks you're so famous. There's no possible way it's actually you in this.
I'd be at a
right
different
now.
Entrance. Yes. One of the many different entrances into the sphere, the secret entrances.
Yeah, you're like a VIP entrance.
Yeah, you would think. And he freaks out. They're Howard fans, so they know me from Stern Show. And he was freaking out. And he was like, you just made our night. I'm like, no, the sphere is about to make our night. We're about to see the sphere. And he's like, I'm so excited. They were on. He said later he was on Molly and he apologized. But we like became friends because we waited in this long line together. But I just loved his. He was so incredulous. You are not. Like, he was offended that I was even, like, trying to pose as her.
Yeah, like, as a joke. There was no regret there after you settled that it was you, which I can understand is a fun thing to be able to do. There is no regret that now you have to talk to the stranger for the next probably 15 minutes.
The gift of being someone notable or noticeable is that you get to give the gift of like them getting to talk to what they see as a celebrity, which to me, even as me is the greatest gift I can receive, is having a normal interaction with someone super famous and like being able to take away a story or like the way I look at them as super famous, someone I admire or like am a fan of. So it's like, that's the nice thing about being recognizable, I think. And I would feel that other people feel that way, is that you get to give that gift all the time of people being like, guess who we saw? And they go, who? And they go, Nikki Glaser. And they go, who is that? And then they Google it and they go, her. Well, that's not really a good picture of her. Well, wait a second. I'll find one. You don't remember her from this? No, sorry. Well, she's really great. We should pull something up. Oh, this is offensive. It's flagged. that whole scuttlebutt.
No, I'd probably go like this. I saw Nikki Glaser. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. There's no way that that was actually Nikki Glaser. And then I'm like, no, I have a picture of her ID.
I should have posed with the ID.
Oh yeah.
That would have been fun. But so we get into, so foreshadowing, I tell this guy, mm-hmm. meeting me is not the greatest part of your night. What we're about to witness, we are at the fucking Sphere.
That's like, right.
This is going to be the greatest show because I don't, what are your thoughts going into the Sphere show? Like, what are you expecting? How high are your expectations? Do they go all the way up to the ceiling?
I have a friend that went to the, yes, they definitely went up to the ceiling and above you and all around. I have a friend who went to the Sphere in Vegas a few weeks ago, but he saw the nature show.
Oh, see,
and
I've
he said
that.
It was absolutely incredible and amazing. So
I don't trust anyone anymore, though.
Yeah, sorry. Neither do
when
I.
When it comes
honestly.
To Sphere, I have severe I have Sphere trust issues.
Yes,
Sphere trust issues.
Yeah.
Since I'm not even joking, you like I've been on this podcast before talking about movies I've seen that people are like, this is the greatest comedy of our generation, and then I go and I have to leave the theater because I'm just so disappointed in America's taste. But this. I mean, I can't, you know,
everyone
what's
agrees.
Everyone knows what's coming.
Yes.
Okay. But everyone does not agree with us. Okay. So
no.
We are at the Sphere show.
Yeah.
And
not
we're hyped.
U2 fans necessarily, but
no,
hyped
but
for the Sphere. And the
I
show.
Don't give a fuck. We could be seeing a live abortion on that screen and I would still like the whole screen could be it. And I would still be mesmerized. Like,
yes.
I'm not even joking you. Like they could have showed anything.
Yeah.
Here's what I expected going in. I just want to lay out my expectations. I didn't really care about the. I knew the sound would be amazing. I wanted this it to sound good. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see them have a great show. It's not about you two though. This is about the Sphere. I wanted to see screens that were incredible. I wanted to see what I wanted was at some point to feel like I was flying through something, not in a way that's going to make you sick. A gentle, just gentle moving through a city. Over a desertscape, just some kind of movement. I would have liked more things like rain dripping down, simple yeah. things, simple IMAX sort of things. Mm-hmm. I was definitely terrified to feel any kind of like, oh my God, I'm on a roller coaster or a shark's biting my face. Like I didn't want it to be in your face too much, but I wanted constant screen action.
Yes. Not like a Universal Studios ride, but like an
yes.
immersive experience, which is what
just
the Sphere is advertising.
Just yes. making me feel like I might have done mushrooms because I did. Mm-hmm. Okay? You know, like that's what I wanted. But we get there and we're sitting in our seats and then there's like a helicopter sound, right? I think that's the first thing that happens.
And the seats vibrate.
And the seats vibrate, and that
which
is
pretty
cool as hell.
Yeah.
Underutilized throughout yeah. the whole show. The seats vibrate in such a way that I could have achieved orgasm if it would have lasted longer than 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. It was like Sibian style seat shaking. But it was cool. I thought. So then the helicopter comes and you see it at the very top.
Sibian
and it like
is pretty intense. I mean,
I've never been on one, but I mean,
that thing will destroy you. I feel like the seats were not quite Sibian level.
It was like muted Sibian. It was like Sibian with a Tupperware container on top or something. Like
okay.
Something
I mean, I've
like
seen
that.
Some Sibian videos where they get, they're
Brian,
like, gotta go to the
doctor.
We don't
need to know what you're into. I have to. Well, there's the one on Howard Stern. Remember when he makes it with his mouth?
Oh my God.
He goes like,
oh,
yeah.
Into the microphone and she's like sitting on a subwoofer.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So who knows if it really happened? Like it happened on air for sure, but like who knows what she was really doing? Okay.
Helicopter.
Comes down. Seats are shaking. Whoa, that does feel like a helicopter. That looks like a helicopter. This is going to be cool. I thought it would be so cool if they had them like rappel down. It looked like they were rappelling down. Mm. Like on, and then they just appear at the bottom.
That would have been cool.
That's not what happened. The helicopter comes. Some then
what
they,
was that? What was the helicopter's purpose?
I don't, looking back, Brian, I don't fucking know, dude.
It just flew away.
Nothing made sense on this show. So then
the concrete opens.
Yes. And let me just tell you that both Chris and I verbalized to each other, after the concrete slowly opens. And I was supposed to have Sean O'Brien on this podcast because he was making me laugh at his defense of it, because Sean O'Brien's the biggest U2 fan. I flew him to New York to go to that Apollo show with me like the day before. He's the biggest U2 fan I know. He's talked up the Sphere to me so much. He told me what tickets to buy and everything. So he was jazzed. And he's like, this guy is really intense. He talks like this. And he's just like, oh, you gotta go. Oh, they're gonna blow your mind. They're gonna blow it. So he was so excited for me to go.
After we're done, can we try calling him? Would it work?
That's absolutely what I'm going to do. I'm going to text him right now just to tell him I'm about to call you in like a little bit. Thank you. One second. That's
he really,
idea.
I
he
mean,
he was cracking.
This guy
me
spoke
up
the, he talked up the Sphere U2 show because he went and he saw it in Vegas and he thought it was the best show he's ever seen. He was over the moon about it. And based on that recommendation, Nikki was like, well, we've got to go. This is apparently a life-changing event. And according to all of the reviews on the internet, the New York Times, places like that, everyone is equally as effusive about the U2 Sphere show.
We got to go to break, but this is the problem. I had not looked at reviews. You know, the night it came out, I was glued to my phone, much as I am for the Eras tour, of like, what is this going to be? Because the night it first happened, no one had seen the Sphere. No one knew what the Sphere could do. Mm-hmm. And it looked awesome. There's this part where all these numbers are coming. And then the wall feels like it's coming down, right?
Yeah, there's that
part. You feel like
part.
The Sphere is like falling on your head. Oh my God. Then there's a scene where there's like a flag burning in the desert. And that looks kind of fucking cool. Mm-hmm. And then that's it. Those are the only videos you fucking see leading up. And I found out why after the break.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky, smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
My expectations are not too high, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I just want to see some cool stuff and I want to have a good time. But after the intro, where the concrete kind of splits open and there's like shining light coming through, and then all of a sudden, I forget even what happens because it was so non-monumental. But
well, there was one cool scene where it was like Elvis and Vegas, and it was
no,
like
that didn't happen yet. This was still the intro.
This is before that.
I will give them credit for that. When the way you open a show is very important. It should be either the best part of the show or the second best part of the show, without question. It has to be either of those two. That is how you plan a set. That's how you. It should be the best part of the show. And by the way, Taylor Swift Eras, it's the best part of the show. The opening where she appears. But I don't even remember how they showed up. They like walked out, which is fine.
They ambled.
But there was no, what?
They ambled onto stage.
Did.
We're here now. We come out.
It was really just, there wasn't a lot of pomp. There was minimal circumstance. But I turned to Chris at the open after the opening, after the get into the song, and I'm like, well, that was it. And I go, I'm a little disappointed in what they've done so far. And Chris, as a producer that he is, and he isn't wrong, he says they're leaving something in the chamber. You know, they've got more for us because they're not going to blow their load too soon. He didn't use those words, but that was exactly what he meant.
Right.
And I go, Sibian, yeah, you're probably
hasn't
right.
reached its full
capacity. Yeah. Yeah. It's on level
just
one.
On so, low. Yeah.
Yeah. So he, so I was like, yeah, you're probably right. Then we go to, I think then at one point they do the number thing, right? And the ceiling goes down and then the Elvis thing.
Well, yeah, it's cool. At first I thought this is cool. It's missing something. It's missing like a 3D. I think it was lights and smoke or something like that. Like there was a 4D element that was missing in the whole production that wasn't making it entirely immersive to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the first like 15% of the show, I was like, if this is building to something, especially, I am pretty satisfied.
Yeah.
With
I would make it 7% because we didn't stay the whole show. So I would make it even smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But, I also think just the energy of the show starting gave a little boost. After Elvis, they do like a Viva Las Vegas thing, and there's like this crazy, like Elvis Vegas scene that's like,
it looks like a kaleidoscope. It looks
How do you describe it?
An LSD poster, like a lava lamp esque.
If you stared at it all day, you wouldn't see everything that's happening in it.
Right.
There's like dancing ladies, and then there's Elvis over here singing, then there's Elvis on a bed, there's a woman dancing over here, and that it's just like filled with stuff. It's really fun. And it slowly moves down and it kind of almost repeats itself. And but let me just say, they use the whole screen all the way to the top, all the way to the bottom.
Yeah.
And then after that, we kind of abandon the screen.
They just say no more screen.
We just say, you know what? We're only going to use the bottom half of the screen. And then it becomes like they'll have like bubbles. And then each U2 member will be in a bubble. And it'll be kind of floating listlessly. Not even around. Like it just stays static, kind of wobbling.
It turned into 1 hour of Windows 95 screensavers.
I would prefer to see the DVD logo going back and forth and us cheering when it gets into the corner. Like so at one point I bet Brian $100. Wait, was it $100? $20. I bet
$20
that the next song they would utilize the whole screen because it's been like an hour.
It was like an hour since the screen usage.
The screen goes, if you don't know the sphere, it's an egg. The sphere goes hundreds of feet up into the air. Let's say, I don't even know how tall it is. We probably should have done our research. I would say 150 feet up in the air. And they're using half of it, 2/3 maybe. And to use the whole thing,
it's 366 feet tall, 366.
Okay, damn it. I was so not close.
And 516 feet wide.
Yeah, and they are using a small percentage of that. And I understand that screens are expensive to make. These videos, shooting these things are expensive to make. It is, I'm not kidding you, it wouldn't be hard to have flying toasters. Like Windows 95, flying toasters all over would have been interesting to watch during a whole song. Because you have a U2 song, you don't really need much more. It's U2 playing, they sound amazing.
Disagree.
Do you think it has something to do with the band not wanting people to take their attention off?
That's
and
part
you
of performance.
Don't go to the sphere.
That's right.
You do
sphere.
Not. You are a featured performer in the sphere's main act.
That's
if
right.
You do not sign up for the sphere unless you use the sphere. I am adamant about that. And I think every artist should. I think there is no artist that is bigger than the sphere. Every artist should like die to perform at the sphere because it's such a cool room that you can do so much cool visual stuff with. But if you think you're cooler than the sphere and you want to tone it down.
Oh my God.
To go like you're playing at an outdoor music festival and there's just like, there's nothing there. Like that. It's just you and the band. No, it's not. That's not the place to do it. At one point they go, Okay, I'm not even going to get to the balloon part because I want you to take that one. But one song, they're like, and this is towards the end where I am losing my cool and I've already lost $20 because I bet that the next song would have the screen used all the way and it was not. It just like showed a bunch of different words, like flashing
no,
words
around.
No, the screen
wasn't even that. After you bet me the $20, the next one was no screen at all. And it was, we could see the shadows of the lighting structures. It was like, it was like this, the
bad. I wish necessary. I would have taken pictures because there's no footage of this online because I don't know what's going on. Someone's protecting us from the truth about that. This is disappointing. And people are protecting themselves because people are going to the show and leaving saying it's good. And I don't understand it. There is like an $800 jacket you can buy of the show, like at the merch day. Like people are because the thing is, if you invest a lot of money in something, you convince yourself you love it. But yeah. I will say, if I would have paid $600 per ticket, which I would have paid to go see this, even as the YouTube fan I am, because I thought it was going to be that cool. Mm-hmm. If I would have paid $600 a ticket, I would have 100% asked for my money back. I would have said, this was so not worth it. I know that I would have been wrong in doing that, but I just feel like I was promised something by the general public's like excitement about this and whoever did the press for the Sphere. The Sphere is cool. There's no question because obviously that Nature documentary is awesome, but is it? Is it, Brian? Because
I don't know.
Okay, as soon as we get to, I'm all over the place.
This is like what happened to those people who went to that Willy Wonka festival.
Yes, but instead they all agreed it sucked. We were the only ones who left early. And as soon as we're going home, I Googled U2 Sphere disappointing Reddit. You know, like that's how you find
that's where you find it.
And all it was people being like, I was disappointed it wasn't longer. Like that's like, it was like, I was disappointed in my ticket pricing. And I'm like, can we talk about the screens? And then I've been running into people that have seen it. And I go, have you seen the U2 Sphere? And they're like, amazing. I ran into the director of F-Boy Island, who I love so much, Michael Shea.
Fassbender.
Michael Shea, who loves you, Brian. But we did some stuff for the new show coming out called Lovers and Liars, which is a spinoff of F-Boy Island where there's three guys. It doesn't matter. I don't even know if they've announced it, but there's a new show coming out in April. They should announce it. Yes. Yeah. I just found out. Bill Dixon was like, you don't know your show is coming out in April. I was like, no one told me. But I did reshoots for that. And I saw Michael Shea and he had seen you too. And I go, Michael, let's talk about it. And I don't give away that I'm disappointed yet. I go, you too. The Sphere. And he goes, amazing. And I go, wrong. And he's like someone I like really respect and love. And I was like, boo, it was bad. I go, Michael, no. And he's paid, you know, some big money because he went back in 2023 when it opened.
Oh yeah.
And I said, Michael, what about the bugs? What about the insects?
Pixelated bugs that stayed on the screen for literally 25 minutes.
Okay, Noah, this is what happens. They get lazy. At some point, they're phoning it in hard with the screens, and they decide to do a thing. Imagine you are a light bulb, right? On like a big light. Like there's a big light, and you are inside the light, and you're from the point of view of the light bulb, and you're like a blue light bulb, okay? And then there's a plastic cover right above your head, and then all of these bugs are just like dying on you, okay? They're not even moving. They're just landing. You know, like when bugs like fall into a light and they're just kind of like twitching. That is what we are looking at. And were they even clear bugs?
They were pixelated.
Brian? They
pixelated
were blurry.
Bugs. Yes.
And they weren't even moving. They were twitching. It was like they were twitching in a rhythm that wasn't even original. So it was like they were twitching every 2 seconds. So it was like on repeat. It was the cheapest bullshit I've ever seen. But they kept adding them. So more bugs would appear until it filled up the whole screen. And all the screen was bugs except a couple pierces of blue light coming through. Mm-hmm. And then that was the end of the show. That was their curtain, not curtain call, but there was the like, goodbye, everyone. Then they go backstage. And that they left it on during the, you know, in between the encore and the end of the show. And we're just looking at a screen filled with twitching bugs. It is so unimpressive. If someone turned it in as their final art project at a community college in Delaware, they would be sent. Sorry, Delaware. I just picked a state that I don't ever remember exists. They would receive an F. It was awful. No one could argue. If you are a defender of the sphere, slide into my DMs and engage with me in a fight about the bug scene, because the bugs were there in the fall. I asked Michael Shea about them. The bugs aren't a new addition. You have to, if you loved the sphere, answer for the bugs, because the bugs was such an insulting thing to do to us.
Delaware F.
And don't you dare talk to me. Don't you dare tell me about, what about Nikki? What about when they pull back the sphere and they show you the Las Vegas Strip?
As if
the sphere isn't there. So Noah, we're all facing one direction in the sphere, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're like, we're going to show you what it would be like if the sphere wasn't here. And I'm like, I'm dying to live in a world where the sphere isn't here. So then they pull back the sphere, like they're opening the sphere to show us. First of all, Las Vegas during, it's kind of like the daytime. And it's obviously nighttime when we're at the show, so it doesn't even like make you feel like you're really pulling it back. And it's very obviously like animated. Again, they're like the cars are all uniform going like and they're showing you something that you can clearly see from anywhere in L. It's not, they're not giving you a view that is interesting. You saw it on the drive in. Mm-hmm. It's like, show us a different city. Show us anywhere. Show us space. Show us the stars. Show us a galaxy. Simple, simple ideas just floating through a galaxy, dude.
That would have been cool to do space.
Through stars with amazing constellations moving
in and
out.
One of those things that show you how small the Earth is in comparison to the rest of the universe.
Thank you.
It just keeps zooming out.
Yes. Yes. Amazing idea. I could come up with so many, but that was so insulting. The bug thing was disgusting. Them floating around in bubbles. Even if they lazily just had Bono full screen. Just Bono's huge body. Even if you wanted to make it about
him. Full screen.
Show him full screen. I would have gladly taken that. That would have looked so cool to have a gigantic Bono. None of that. It was so ridiculous.
I am so upset because our friend Roland, he went to see that in 2023. He paid a lot of money.
Everyone is, they are all gaslit, dude. They're all gaslit.
It's hard. It's hard to
go against the grain. Single, the only person that you could find that says anything bad about it is
Pat McAfee.
Yeah. I'll be free anytime after. Oh, he's not free right now. I'm just going to read some of Sean O'Brien's text messages, though, because this is what was making me laugh so hard. I was literally crying, texting him about it. Okay, so this is prior to it, right? He's texting me all this. I go, where's the best place to sit for you two? He goes, oh my God, this is a steal. October pricing, insane. He shows me the seat I got is $183 tonight. When he went, $827.
Oh my, he paid $827?
Probably.
No.
But he's the biggest fan. I mean, don't, as
that's
a
how much
that,
I get.
That also I don't understand. I mean.
Oh, I do. But yes, that's a lot.
And they pay to go to Vegas, by the way, and stay there for this. There's also that element.
Yes. Yes, you're so right. It's tack on another $1,200 at least. Okay, probably more. He says, so excited for you guys. This will be amazing. I love you both. To me and Chris. He sends a picture. Now he sends the picture that everyone quotes, the one with all the numbers, all like the binary code. Okay. That's the one we've all seen where the ceiling falls. It looks really cool.
That's
I'm standing
the best
by
part,
it.
Probably.
It is cool, but is it as cool as it could be? No, it's just numbers. It's literally 80s. Like it looks like you're watching the beginning of
The Matrix.
Some Total Recall or whatever. I don't know, some 80s movie. Yes. Yes, The Matrix. He said, did you end up getting your section 309 for your seats? I said, 310, row 7. He goes, yes! Can't wait to hear what you think! You'll love it! I said, I will. How long is it? He says, they go on at 8:36 and we'll be off around 10:45. I said, I love the specificity. I says, does anything happen? Okay, this is another part. I go, does anything? Because it says doors are 7:30. I go, does anything happen until 8:36? And he writes back, yes. DJ Pauly D drives around in a car and plays 80s and 90s music. It's fine, but you're not missing much if you don't want to see it. And I said, are you serious about DJ Pauly D? I thought it was, I just was like, he left it sit there. And he goes, as long as you're in your seats by 8:20, all is good. I said, are you serious about DJ Pauly? He said, yes. I know it sounds like it's bullshit, but it's real. And I go, that is insane that he opens. What a gig for him. He said, exactly. We don't know who DJ Pauly D is connected to get this gig. But
to open
now
for you two at the Sphere? Open,
if you were just throwing darts at a board of random celebrities and the funniest one you could ever hit would be DJ Pauly D. I even said to Chris and to Brian, I go, guess who's opening? Pick the most insane person you can think of to open for you two and you won't even get close to
I said Bill Cosby.
You did? Yeah. Okay. That was pretty good. Okay. Okay. This is me in the car writing him. All right. So this is me quietly in the car. Friday, February 9th, 9:55 p.m., which is 7:55 their time. I am devastated that they don't play Stuck in a Moment. I'm legit about to cry. This is why you got, you're like, well, this building over here, you're talking to the Uber driver about Las Vegas architecture.
Yes.
He writes, I promise you it'll be great. He goes, I know. It's a top five song for me, but you'll recognize a bunch of stuff. I said, I'm fucking sad. What a mistake. He says, I promise you it'll be great. The screen is the key. You'll love it.
That's important. He said the screen is the key.
Yes. Gaslit.
Yes.
Abuse victim.
Yes.
I said, okay, I'll get over my disappointment.
Sean Obuse.
He says, it's tricky. They have literally 50 plus hits, but they close strong. Visuals are bananas.
Okay.
Roland honestly texted me.
Visuals being bananas would have been great. If there was bananas
that were literally not pixelated.
Bananas would have been great.
Yes.
But the visuals were not bananas. Unless there were bananas
were
on the screen.
Bugs.
They were bugs.
Blurry
what did Roland
bugs.
Say? Roland, by the way, famously falls asleep at every single show. I bet for this one he did. He has narcolepsy and he falls asleep in the Roland has hookups where he's friends with like every famous person known to mankind. He's probably like Bruce Springsteen's child's godfather. Roland falls asleep like in front row at like Kiss concerts. Like he's been called out before anywhere. And like thrown out of shock. He has narcolepsy. It's so funny. He's adorable. What did he say, Noah?
Okay, so he goes, it was not pixelated. It's and then he goes, it's not the greatest hits show. It's the Actung Baby album with a few hits. It's amazing, the screen. It's
no,
insane, it's, and no, it's not pixelated.
He thinks we're coming at him about the music. Yes, I was upset about Stuck in a Moment. Some people have complaints about the set list that I found online later on when I've searched every synonym for disappointment. I found other complaints about the show, but they're all about the set list.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the screen, Roland. Roland's off. He is commenting on things that other people are saying about the set list, which is not my complaint.
He just loves
well,
this.
I want to
so
come
here's
at him
what I said to
the...
Sean O'Brien.
Okay. I want to come at him for the music because I think U2 maybe sucks. I think it's maybe the most overrated band in history.
Oh, what's Pat McAfee? Pat McAfee?
It was Pat McAfee's sidekick who said that, but I think they're maybe the most overrated band in the history of bands. I don't understand it at all. There's a few songs that I like, but for the most part, they're repetitive, they're uninteresting, and I have never on purpose put on a U2 song to listen to.
I've put on Stuck in a Moment and
maybe Stuck in a Moment. I forgot that was one of theirs.
The sweetest thing. Dun 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 rubber ball. Oh, I used to like that song. I don't put that on anymore, but I still will play Stuck in a Moment. I won't give up on that song. But you have the same opinion as the guy from the Pat McAfee show.
Yeah, and he said, love Pat McAfee.
So he said this on Thursday, or no, sorry, on Friday. They saw the Thursday night show. We saw the Friday night show.
They were at Vegas. We watched them do this.
Yeah, we
didn't realize
we didn't see this conversation, but this is what we were live there watching them talk about this, but we really couldn't hear them. He says, listen, I don't want to offend anybody. His last name's Schmidt. I don't know his first name. Listen, I don't want to offend anybody. That's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to offend people and get people upset when we've got the Super Bowl in 2 days. But I got to be honest with you. I thought I was just a U2 fan going into last night's show just because you get swept up in the pomp and circumstance of everything. And I thought it was really cool. But I realized pretty quick I'm not a U2 guy. In fact, I'd go as far as to say U2 sucks. That's so funny. But then he goes on to say, the Sphere is incredible. Ty Schmidt is his name. He concurred that they both concurred that the Orb venue was phenomenal and that the Sphere is the show. Mm. No, it's not. That is where I'm feeling a disconnect with people. So I wrote to Sean. I said, this is Saturday, February 10th, 12:43 a.m.
Okay.
So we are at dinner afterwards.
We are leaving the Sphere. We went to the noodle barn.
We went to the noodle shop at the wherever we're staying, MGM Grand. And, I said, dude, I'm not joking you. We are so disappointed. I can't believe how little they used the screens and they didn't do anything cool with them. There was literally one moment where it was kind of cool. We left early. I'm so sorry to report this.
Mm.
He goes, no, with like probably 12 exclamation marks. Fuck me. I'm sorry. You're not wrong that the screens took a dip in the middle, but I thought that the screen game was strong the first 7 to 8 songs, and the last 8 songs were my favorite part of the screen. Fuck. I'm sorry, buddy. I'm brainwashed by this band, and so everything they do, it turns to gold for me. I take full responsibility as I shot it to the moon. However, I'll check with my YouTube group and make sure nothing was off.
Oh, no.
I'll go scorched earth. I'll go scorched earth if there were tech problems. I'm really sorry, Nikki. His YouTube group, by the way, are just people online in Facebook groups who like you too. He has no connections. He's going to go check with his YouTube group. And I said, Sean, it's crazy. I can only remember 2 good screens. He said the last 5 songs are when the screens go berserk.
We got the peek in when they went berserk.
They were not going berserk. There is a flag burning in a desert and some doves fly at your face. They're not going berserk. I said, okay, well, we left after the desert scene. I said, we left 2 songs before the end, and we all agree there was nothing they could have done to redeem themselves, which is true. We said there's no, I don't care what they do in those last 2 moments. We were there for 30 songs and nothing good happened besides.
That's right.
He goes,
and then
bummer.
They think they're going to save us by burning a flag. Are you kidding
wild.
Me?
He says, bummer, but I understand. The last 4 songs, I thought the screen was magnificent, but they definitely had some dips in the middle. The acoustic part was dumb. No need for any of that. So sorry for my overhyped reaction. I hope you got to enjoy some of the show. I said, dude, they didn't do shit with the screens for like 20 songs. I said, this was inexcusable. Just bugs twitching. And I sent a picture of the bugs, which I have to post on our Instagram so people can see. I'm so glad I took a photo of it. He says, I'm looking into it now. They had a tech issue about a month ago and the show got compromised.
No.
I'll get to the bottom of this. He goes, okay, something went wrong. I don't even know. I don't even know or recognize that pick. And I said, this was okay, but not good enough. And it was like a bunch of like, it looks like there's just like a smattering of like pink cum all over the screen. And, and he goes, what about this? And he sends the numbers. Then he says the Elvis. Then he sends the doves at the end. I said, okay, yes, I saw the first 2, but that third one, I think we left too soon for. But in between that second photo and the third photo was legit nothing good. He says,
for like almost two hours.
He says, I get it. I just have such a passion for that band that I can't think clearly. Everything they do, I go bonkers for. Ah, shit. I'm really sorry, Nick. I wish you had a better time, but I'm glad you got to see him. Next time we're out, lunch and dinner on me. I oversold it. This is on me. I said, no, we loved hating it. I said, you weren't the one who sold me on it. I would have gone anyway. He said, did Chris hate it as well? I said, yes, we all did. And we are all having a blast trashing it. We are howling, laughing at these texts from you, thinking you owe me lunch and dinner because of Bono's mediocrity. He says, fuck, fuck, fuck. It's painful, but it's got to be done. In fact, you know, fuck it. I'm done. You two can go to pound sand. They fucked my friends. So guess what? They are fucking out. Coldplay, you're back. I'm jumping back in the pool. We don't need this aggravation. Bono fucked us and now he's going to pay.
Yeah, hell yeah.
He said, I hope that fucking sphere burns to the ground. Fucking horseshit knockoff Ice Capades crap. I'm done. He said, they fucked you. He said, which fucked me on my recommendation. There will be a 2-year ban of no you too.
Yeah,
they're
me too.
His favorite
me
band.
Too.
And I mean it. If U2 is in St. Louis and Third Eye Blind is also there, U2 can pass in the wind and I'll go support the blind guys. He says, love you, Nikki. I'll pick a winner next time. Big hugs.
Damn.
It made me laugh so fucking hard. His passion for this band, and like he had to go check with, and he follows up again and he's like, there weren't technical issues. They have resolved them. Mm. I want to know. We got to talk about, will you talk about the balloon?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because let me just say what I said to Sean. I'm so sorry. I said, Sean, we all agree that you need to answer for the balloon song. All right. We know you saw it. Please tell us how you defend that and how you defend in the, and how, please tell us how you defend that and how you defended it in the moment that night. You cannot forget the balloon moment where he is walking aimlessly around the stage, holding a balloon, asking the audience where his keys are, and then going to a door and knocking and no one's inside.
Yep.
And we will talk about the balloon moment, which Brian has a lot of thoughts on, when we come back after this.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from the Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
All right, we're back. I love that this whole show is about the YouTube sphere experience, because this is not, I haven't been this passionate about something in so long.
I mean, yeah, we got to spread the word. Someone's got to agree with us.
We can't get to that yet. That was a success. That's not interesting.
I think the worst part of the show, to be honest, is Bono, because he does a lot of pandering during the show. At one point, he starts talking. Everything he says is like some weird phrase from like a inspirational Instagram post that means nothing to anybody, and you can interpret it however you want. So like, there's one time when he's leading up to a song and he's talking about how no one can take away your freedom. He does like the speech from Braveheart, basically, right. And he says no one could, and I can see that there's people in the audience who view the no one can take away your freedom thing from the right side by saying like, oh yeah, no one's going to take away our guns. And then there's people who view it from the left side who are like, oh yeah, no one's going to take away our right to have abortions. But he never takes a lane. He says stuff like that that means nothing to it. He's not taking a side either way ever.
Right.
And then at one point, he starts complaining about how expensive the hotel rooms are.
Stop.
In
that
Vegas
was fucking wild.
During the Super Bowl weekend, as if he has bought a hotel room in the last 100 years.
He's making a point about capitalism. And I think he said, maybe he was even saying, like, we know how much you spent to be here, giving some kind of nod to that. It might have been that. But he says, even we know the hotel rooms were so expensive. Something about
pandering.
Fact that he is on orbits checking, comparing and trying to save.
He's trying to relate to the public. Oh, I know how expensive the hotel rooms must have been in being Super Bowl weekend. And that's so annoying.
No, but he said that he was even like, I like that, because you can still be privileged and acknowledge how expensive things are for people.
But isn't
who can't
he also
stuff. He said he was looking for a hotel room for his band. That was my problem. What was that, Noah?
I said, isn't he also part of the problem because U2 is also there that weekend?
No, no one gives a shit about that weekend. The Super Bowl.
It was definitely, I've never been somewhere where everything is about one thing more than like, it felt like Lollapalooza.
It was awesome.
It reminded me of going to like a music festival.
For football though. It was a festival for football. I loved it. But yeah, he was like, I went on Expedia.com. And tried to find a hotel.
It
was $400?
What about his thing about science and art?
Everything he said was bullshit.
It was so vague.
At one point, he started rambling. He was rambling the entire time. At one point, he thanked Steve Jobs out of nowhere.
I missed that, but
he was just like, I want to thank Malala. I want to thank all of the immigrants, all of the and
he
Steve
was mumbling.
Jobs.
It was very, like, there was, it felt like he wasn't the most lucid. But
no, and it all came to a head during the balloon thing.
It didn't feel like he was like had a mental condition or he was on anything. It felt like this is what happens when you
are
think
a god.
You're so cool.
Yeah.
Like when your brain turns to mush.
No one has been correcting you or telling you that's lame or that makes no sense for probably 45 years.
And you wear sunglasses
years.
Inside. Like this yeah. is a sunglasses inside mind.
That's right. And it all came to a head during the balloon.
When, I think he's a good person, though. Like, he was talking about AIDS again and stuff, and I think he's done a lot of good work. Like, I think ultimately, I think he's just, his brain is mush because he's too famous.
That's probably right. But what he says, they're frivolous phrases that
they mean
nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
But they see, they dumb people think he's taking a stand and representing them. And that's America now, baby. It's just like, everyone's scared to take a stand, so you just the smart people, which he could be smart, he could be just towing that middle line. Very
he may be a evil genius.
Yes.
Yeah.
Elegantly, but I don't know. I think he thinks he's smarter than he is a little
bit.
But
exactly.
I really couldn't really hear what he was saying most of the time. But that balloon thing where there's a song where he has a balloon.
They drop rope. Down a big rope from the ceiling.
From
it's
the
a
very
really
highest
long
point,
rope.
300 feet up. They drop a rope and we're like, what the fuck
What's
is this going to
do? Is he going to do acrobatics? That
is
would
gonna,
be cool.
Like, Katie or Pink? Perform on this road, like, is he gonna spin around? I thought there's no way that was gonna happen. Chris said something to me about like he's gonna like attach himself to him. I'm like, no, he's an old man, that's not gonna happen. But I thought something cool could happen.
Yeah,
but instead a balloon appears on the screen, and not like a real balloon, which would have been cool, like a photo graphic looking balloon. Like, it almost looks like there's an actual balloon in the room. It was a cartoon drawn, obviously, like really crude drawn balloon. Like a kid drew it, yes. And then this rope is attached to it, and then he walks around a little stage that is probably like 20 feet by 20 feet, and he walks the perimeter of the stage. And then on the stage, the real graphics start to show up, and there's a sidewalk that starts to move, like an animated sidewalk that looks like a treadmill almost. And he's walking, so it looks like he's walking more than he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they chose to really spend the money on the graphics, was the little slice of sidewalk on the stage while we're watching a balloon that someone drew with their left hand in the dark on a chalkboard, on an old chalk. It's like the ugliest thing. And then he's singing about, I don't even know what the song was about, but then he talks in between the verses. And what
and
was he saying?
He's just holding the rope, by the way. The rope is useless. It's just, I'm holding a rope now.
And that's, apparently, Brian, they've reworked that song so many times because I went into some YouTube subreddits and was like reading about people's interpretive, because people think YouTube fans are fucking insane. Like, I know Swifties can be really insane sometimes too. And I guess every stan culture has them. But people that think everything they do is some incredible
and
piece
that's
of
why he is the way he is.
And so they were really analyzing that and trying to just pull any meeting out of this just dry sponge. And it's so funny because it keeps changing and there's no rhyme or reason. But like, so they at first he's looking for the balloon.
No,
and
it's then it's like he had
it's his
Alzheimer's.
Daughter's balloon. No, like it because
he's
the iteration
with
we saw. I'm talking about earlier ones. People said that it was like his daughter's balloon, or it was a little girl came on stage and it was her balloon. Like, they tried different things with this balloon bullshit.
Yeah.
And on the one we saw, he had lost his keys.
Right. He's walking around. He's walking around town holding a balloon, trying to find his home and saying he can't find his keys. And then he walks up to a door that's not his and rings the doorbell and no one answers. And we're supposed to take that as anything other than he's got dementia. That is exactly what dementia people do.
Because then the image on the screen is like a zoom, like you're looking at a camera on your front
fish
porch.
Fisheye
lens, which was cool in the 90s. Like to like have a big image of like someone being like, whoa, looking in. Like, it was so bad.
I can't find my keys. I guess this isn't my house.
Sean said they just keep fucking with it. I said, what about the balloon thing? Are you two fans talking about it? First of all, he said, here's the problem. It was on the edge. His wife was in on it.
What?
The edge is the guitar player, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I asked about the balloon thing from him. He goes, well, the good news is I missed it because the band just got over COVID, so they didn't do it. They had just gotten over COVID, so they didn't do the balloon thing. He said, oh, wait, that was about something else. He goes, those motherfuckers, I thought they dropped that bit. So he's so mad to hear it's still in the thing. He goes, here's the problem. It was the edge. His wife was in on it. Bono wanted no part of this hopscotch nonsense. He was literally doing hopscotch holding this rope.
Where are my keys?
But he didn't want to offend the edge's wife. Well, fuck, oh man, here God. We go. Let's just prance around with this nonsensical balloon and next bring out a seesaw. It was a fucking abhorrent, but I gave him a pass to keep the wife happy. But to bring it back, this is repugnant, and I need to rethink this. This band altogether. Fucking next year, the drummer is going to start jumping rope during a guitar solo. I'll tweet at some people. I'll tweet at some people and do some damage control. So he's going to ask around. He said, okay, here's what I found out. They just keep fucking with it, meaning the balloon song. For the second show, a girl was swinging from the rope and fell out.
Oh my God.
Off. He says, the whole thing is fucked. I can't believe they brought it back.
Wow.
When he was so apologetic about it being bad, I was like, Sean, I don't think there's any more joy. I think hating it has brought me so much more joy than loving it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really wish I could have loved it. I wanted to have an experience. That was why we did it. But like, coming out of it, I do feel so removed from my fellow man, though, that I can't find one person.
That's sad.
Echoing the same sentiments. But thank God us four were all together, because Chris and I can kind of get of the same mind sometimes. You know, I think couples can do that when you watch something and you can just like get into each other's heads about it. So, but thank God it was four of us who had all the same experience. And you and Allie were mostly talking, and then me and Chris, like it wasn't until the end of the show after we left that we were all like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
So we weren't like feeding each other throughout it, except when I bet you $20.
No, Allie hated it. I couldn't wait to leave. I was hoping we would leave early, but I didn't want to insult you because you bought the tickets.
No, I'm all for a leave early. And that was, although I did not leave early for the first time ever at my 10th Taylor Swift concert, which I attended in Melbourne. Final thought. I went to see Taylor Swift three more times, twice in Melbourne.
Three?
Once in Sydney.
Wow, I thought it was only two.
Yeah, it was going to be two, but then our friends had tickets to one of the Melbourne shows, and then I had tickets to the other one, and we were all going to go together to one of them. And then when I found out they had tickets to a separate, I thought we both had tickets on the same night. So I was like, oh yeah, we'll use whoever tickets are better and sell the others or give them to our friends. But then I found out that they had tickets for a different night, and they were like, we'll just go one night. And I go, I'm sorry, like I can't have a chance to go see her. I'll buy those to like, I'm going both nights. So I went both nights. So did my friend, back. She went with me both nights. One night I went with her and her boyfriend and his sister. And then another night we went with all her friends. We had amazing seats. It was so good. And for the 11th and 10th and 11th show of my, Eras tour, going, you know, seeing the show, I stayed for the whole show. I've never stayed until the very end because I'm scared of like mass exoduses.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
I just, you know, like Noah, we even left.
We left, and I kind of like Karma.
I like leaving and dancing to Karma as I leave, but I've never been in my seat and like waving at her when she goes away and like when she says thank you to the band and everyone. So it was really fun to stay to the end, and it wasn't bad getting out at all. I was scared of nothing. But
well, it's Australia.
I did leave on the 12th show early because there was an Uber situation we had to attend to. But I left during Mastermind, if Swifties are listening. And that is the time that you only need to leave during Mastermind. You're going to miss Karma, but like you will save yourself hours if you leave during those. But I also understand if you don't want to. They were amazing. They were just, she was in the best mood. My girl is in love. I have not seen her since she's been like very, very in love. And like people who are in love are just happier. You know, sure. Like they're just going to be doing like she puts on the best. Like I would never, it's not remarkably noticeable in any way, but she's just like killing it. She's so amazing. And I also this weekend was doing the sound mixing for, this is a Swiftie segment. I was doing the sound mixing for my special, and I saw like a Reputation poster on the wall. And then
oh, wow.
I was like, Taylor Swift's been here, right? And they're like, oh yeah, she was here for Eras. And I was like, you did sound mixing for Eras? He was like, I was like, you did? And my sound mixer, Brian, was like, yeah, I did. And I was like, oh my God, tell me everything. And of course he has to sign an NDA, so he couldn't tell me anything. But I was just like, where was she sitting? Can I just sit there? And he was like, right there. And so I moved to that chair and I was like, here. And everyone in the room was kind of like, chill out. But I was like, I couldn't, the chairs move around a lot in there. So I couldn't be sure it was the right chair, but it was definitely the right like thing I was like leaning on. And he just said that she was, he, you know, he said whatever is true about her, which is like, she just knows what she wants and she's so professional and she's just the pro. And then I asked him, which he has no right to tell me probably, but I asked him on, you know, on the secret songs, the surprise songs, which are the ones she does acoustically, just with her piano, just with her guitar. There's no backing vocals. I said, did you add a little song to those? Like, you know, for I would expect if it were me for my concert film, I would maybe redo the vocals on that if I thought any of the vocals weren't top tip top shape. And he goes, not a thing. Fucking nice. Straight up her voice, little thing. That's my girl. I fucking knew it. She's the best. And she does, you know, some pretty intensely vocal songs for those two songs. It's just so amazing. I'm just like, so I was so in awe, but it was so cool to be in like the same space as where she was going to be.
And just update for our besties. You have a name for your special.
Oh
yeah. But I don't think I can say it yet.
No. You don't have to say it.
Oh yeah.
But
oh,
you yes, landed
I
do. On it.
Oh, I've landed on a name. Yes. Okay. And it was, okay. It came from, I've told you, right? Brian? Yeah. Brian, you know it.
I don't think I don't think I do.
It's the name of the song. I don't know if you remember the name of the song.
Beautiful
don't
Day.
It should be called Stuck in a Moment because, no, it's, yeah, I like the name. It's,
okay,
yeah,
now, so now I know the name of the song. Is that even that's a surprise too, the song itself?
Yeah, I wrote a song for the end of it, but
not a surprise.
I don't mean to make it, I'm not going to make it a surprise. I mean, I think it'll be a surprise to most people. I'm not like, it's not clear, like even the sound editor, Chris, at one point was like, you know, this is Nikki singing. And he was like, what? Really?
Yeah, that's like the goal. That was my experience. And I think that's a good goal is for people not to even realize it's yours.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want people to like Shazam it and be like, what is this song? And be like, wait, this is Nikki? Like, I didn't want it to be like, and then here's Nikki's song. But yes, it is the end of my special. There's a song that I wrote and I'm super excited about it. And it's the name of the special. And yeah, I'm finally totally done with the special, in the can.
Yay. Wow, delivered.
Signed, sealed, delivered. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must feel good.
And that is coming out within some months and you'll all be able to see it. And the besties will know it's my song, but that's okay. But I think the normal viewer will just be like, what is this song? What else? Oh, Noah got married.
You're going to save my wedding for the last 3 minutes of the show.
We're really going to get into it right now. No, I just want to acknowledge it, but we will get into it. We have a lot actually to get into on the next couple episodes. I was trying to think of what I wanted to share from today. I'm purging my apartment. That's been fun. I'm just getting rid of so many things.
Look behind you. I don't see anything.
Oh, wait.
Is that just because you're zoomed in?
If you looked in front of me, you would see so much shit. There's like my bed frame. I got a king size bed. That's been fun to sleep on.
Oh, you get a new mattress?
Yes, I did get a new mattress and I'm happy with it. It's like fine.
What
I'm
is sure it?
It's a Strava.
Strava? I've never even heard of that.
Yeah. Anya just told me her sister liked it and that she bought one and liked it. So I was like, okay, boom, done.
For me, mattress gate is over. I have found my mattress finally.
Okay, what is it?
It is simply a Beautyrest. A Beautyrest Black. And I realized this when I was at hotels for a while. And I was like, you know what? I think I just need a regular mattress that people use. Like, and hotels are just like a mattress for everybody. It doesn't matter. You're going to like
it
enough.
Yeah, there's no special like cooling technology or exactly. Foam.
I went through so many mattresses. I went through several Tempur-Pedics. I went through a Helix. I went through latex.
I feel like men do this. They over analyze products before they purchase them, and they have to try them all.
It's a research,
and they have to like yes. There's so much research, and there's so much like I'm gonna. Chris will buy like Like, for us to go to a Grammy party, he spent $5,000 on clothes just to try them all on at home because he didn't really have a lot of time. But, like, he likes, he'll spend a ton of money just like, let's just get everything and see what we like to make sure we have the best thing. And that's how he found me.
Well, I did that for my wife too. I went on all those dates.
You did. Do you do this with other products? Do you research and research and research, or do you just like wing it sometimes?
The reason why the mattress became such an issue was because I would sleep on the bed. It would make me feel like shit. And so then it became a thing I would do a bunch of research on.
But is your whole life you felt you slept like shit? What have you always been in pursuit of? Why did it just start?
If you recall, the first ever mattress I got in LA is when I moved to here. I moved here for Not Safe, and I didn't have a mattress for a while. And then I did the production card for Perfect, for your end card. And I did Chris's end card.
Okay.
And he gave me $500. And with that money, I purchased some mattress off Craigslist. And that was my mattress for like 6 years.
And it worked for you.
Worked
fine.
And
it was when you gave that one up that you started to have the issues.
I gave that one up, and then I got another mattress that was like King Coil, and it was fine. Other reasons why I got a new mattress, but I got a new mattress, and I started to have issues when I tried to start to figure it out.
But the Beauty Rest Black Beauty.
Yeah, the Black Beauty. The Beauty Rest Black, it's amazing. It's just exactly what I want in a mattress. And what's great about it is that many hotels have beauty rests. So if I go to a hotel and
you'll sleep peacefully.
That's right. There's no adjustment. Home. There's no adjustment period. Whereas if I had like a Tempur-Pedic or a latex and I was used to that, and then I go to a hotel and I sleep in a regular mattress, it would probably take me two nights.
Sensitive. Noah, are you the sensitive to different mattresses when you go somewhere?
I'm not as sensitive as Brian, but he does have a point because I have the Tempur-Pedic and every hotel mattress that I've been on is inferior to it.
It sucks. Yeah.
And it's just a little harder to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beauty Rest is amazing. I know that it's like the most standard plain mattress you can, but it's also black. And so I think that's pretty cool that
what?
It's like,
it really is black.
It really is black. And I love that. And it's upholstered like a couch.
Because they get such stains on them. Yeah. It's so disgusting. Oh, yeah. I have this new pillowcase that I have that's black. And that thing is probably disgusting looking. But you would not know.
That's right.
I love black clothing. I love Chris, this weekend, we were shopping somewhere. And he was like, there was some white thing that he wanted me to get that was so cute. And I go, no. Like, babe, it's white. Like, we both know, like, that's not for my spray tan life and my makeup. Mm. It just doesn't. Noah, can you wear white things? You wear lots of makeup.
That's okay. So for our wedding, I'll tell you the quick story. We just wanted to have like outfits because we were going to dinner and stuff. And we haven't really bought nice clothes because of the pandemic. So I told Avi, I'm like, just get light stuff because we're the bride and groom. And it'll just be easier that way. And he was freaking out. He's like, I'm going to get this stained. I'm spending so much money on this shirt. It's just going to get stained. I'm like, who cares?
Tide pen.
Mm. Yeah, I have laundry detergent at home.
Yes.
We have bleach.
Oh my God, Noah, can you stop blabbing about your wedding? It's getting really tiresome.
Honestly, we were going to talk about the YouTube sphere on this episode, and it's like Noah just had to
hijack
her moment in the spotlight. We
get
it. She
grabbed that balloon rope and took it.
Once a bride, always, like, you're not a bride anymore, Noah.
Yeah.
We will get into Noah's wedding next week on the show, as well as many other things. Thank you for listening. Come see us this weekend in Philadelphia, in Bensalem.
And then in
Port Chester, New York, which is
close to Pelham. Close to Pelham, New York. It's upstate.
Pelham has a airport, right?
That I don't know.
I don't know either. But I hope that I don't fly there on an Air Max 7 or 8. Because I read a report and now I'm scared. Even though I'm not someone who's ever scared of flying, I read something that made me scared of flying. But I'm not going to let it scare me because the odds of that happening are really slim. And if I do die in a plane crash, I'll be okay. It'll be fast. All right, thanks, guys, for listening to the show. We'll see you next time. Don't be good. Bye.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less.
Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.